Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. So let me introduce my guest, who is here with me this morning from Salmon Regional Medical Center's Rehabilitation Outpatient Center. Kathy Cooney is here. Curry is here. The physical therapist. Good morning. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Good morning. So glad to be here. That's cold morning.
No kidding. Yeah. But it's great to have you here. Talk about the work that you are doing. And we were talking before we came on the air this morning. This is your second time in Farmington.
It is. We moved here in 2001 for my husband to be the Methodist minister at First United Methodist Church.
Right.
And we were there for 9 years. And then we moved to Lubbock for him to be the minister there and at First Lubbock. And so, yeah, so we're back after these years. We love Farmington. So glad to be back.
Wonderful. Well, welcome back. And you've been back since about summer, right?
June. COVID. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Try selling your house and buying a house.
That's right.
Doing all that with COVID, but we did it. It worked out, and we're here. We're glad.
Welcome back. And you have been in physical therapy for most of your career.
I'm in my 40th year. I can't believe that.
But wow.
I'm in my 40th year of being a PT.
Okay.
And then 25 years in specializing in pelvic health physical therapy.
So. Which is what we're going to talk about this morning because that's your focus, right?
That is my focus.
And so people hear pelvic health, and they may not know what exactly that means.
Yeah.
And you were very gracious in explaining to me what that means. And it's a very, I think, private topic for a lot of people. And so it's maybe hard for other doctors to diagnose a problem in that region of the body, right?
Yes. When you think of a pelvic health physical therapist, we always say from ribs to knees. So that's the area that we treat. Although, of course, we look at posture and we treat the whole body.
Sure.
But we specialize in the muscles, the connective tissue, the nerves of the pelvis. And those affect very private parts of the body, but they affect very private issues of our life, such as bladder issues, bowel issues, and sexual issues. So I treat all of those things for men, women, and children.
Mm-hmm. Got you. And not very many people do what you do.
No, we're very specialized. A lot of people have not even heard. That's why I'm so thrilled to be here so that we can get the word out. But I've been doing it for 25 years, and the need is there. And like you were saying, so often pelvic floor issues are not easily diagnosed, especially some of the pain diagnoses because they don't show up on imaging. So when somebody has severe pain, it's affecting their bowel, bladder, and sexual functioning for those who have, like, say, a pudendal nerve compression.
Right.
Then that doesn't show up, and so...
So they're going to their doctor, and they're saying, Doctor, I'm in this
asking,
horrible, horrible pain,
yes.
and what could it be? And they're doing a scan, and they can't see anything.
Right. And so they may give them medication, antibiotics. So for men, they used to call it chronic prostatitis, chronic pelvic pain syndrome. And because of that, because it had so many of the symptoms of prostatitis, and the statistics on that are there's 8% of men worldwide have this problem, but 95% are not infectious, so they don't have an infection of the prostate. And so medication really doesn't help. What in most cases is the muscle that's compressing on nerves that's causing the difficulties. And they may have difficulties starting their urine stream, emptying their bladder. They feel like when they're having a bowel movement, they have feeling like a ball is in their rectum. Then they have problems with sexual functioning, and it's very, very disruptive and to their life, their quality of life. I've even had some patients that are suicidal that have this. And so it's so important to be able to be seen by someone that can actually work on the muscles and the nerves, such as a pelvic health physical therapist like myself. So.
Right. It's not just a pill or something that can fix this
issue in all cases.
It takes some work, manual skills to actually work on the muscles, because the pelvic floor muscles can be in great spasm, can have what's called trigger points, myofascial trigger points, which are little taut bands in the muscle, little knots and that are tender.
So just like your neck or your back, right?
And your, you know, you're tense, and you can get that in your pelvic floor too. And we have to remember the pelvic floor is part of our core.
You were telling me this before we were talking about voice and and breath control, and and it's related to diaphragm, which we are all familiar with, right? It's all part of that.
Right. The diaphragm is the core muscle on the top.
Upper, yeah.
And then the pelvic floor is on the bottom. And then you've got your abdominal muscles in the front. Then you've got some back muscles in the back and some of your abdominal muscles that wrap around to the back as well. So you've got this canister.
Think about it. That's right. Core muscles.
And I like to say, I was supposed to speak at, we lived in Lubbock, and I was supposed to speak at the Texas Tech University's Sports Medicine Symposium. And so I was so proud of my title, because I was going to talk about how the pelvic floor affects sports.
Sure.
And I had my title, and I haven't been able to use it, so I'm going to use it now.
Okay.
Pelvic floor, the core you can't ignore. So
there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
So I finally got to use my title.
I like it. That's right.
But I didn't get to because of COVID, you know.
Right. Well, yeah. Hashtag COVID.
Hashtag COVID. 2020.
Yeah. I understand. But that, so it's so important, because we hear a lot when we're exercising about strengthening our
core
and how important that is for a lot of our bodily functions, right? And our health. So, and I don't know if we ever think about the lower part of our core being the pelvic floor that you're talking about.
And think about it. It's what holds back our urine, holds back our stool, holds back gas when we, you know, we all have gas, and but we like to, you know, choose when and where it comes out.
Right.
But it's those muscles.
Bodily functions.
It's bodily functions. It's part of sexual functioning.
So when it's not working.
When it's not working, it's important. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And it really, you know, it affects, and I said it a while ago, I'm such a Texan. It affects the such important parts of our life, and people will quit going to visit relatives, and the grandkids are wondering why grandmom doesn't come anymore. Well, she's thinking she may
have an accident
on the floor or in the bed, and so she doesn't go. And then, or they quit going to church, or you know, they quit having intercourse because either it's painful or they feel like they're going to leak during intercourse. You know, there's just so many things that affect life in such a big way.
And so, and I know this is difficult to talk about for many people, of course, because it's embarrassing.
It's personal.
And it's personal. And so you are here to say that doesn't have to be the future, or the, you know, that there's maybe some help to relieve that, fix that, change that outcome.
Absolutely. There is someone that can help you with that. And so
that's you.
That's me.
That's right.
Pelvic health physical therapist. And so you would come, going to physical therapy for your knee, you get a doctor or nurse practitioner, you know, you get a referral. And then in your insurance pays for it, just like they do. It's
other
not
physical therapy.
Different. It's physical therapy. It just happens to be the location, like I said, from ribs to knees,
right?
You know, that, are the muscles, nerves, and connective tissue that we work with.
Right. But for and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but for a lot of people though, that may keep going to their doctor saying, I'm still having this problem.
Right.
Why isn't it going away? Or why can't we seem to figure this out? Mm-hmm. This may be something to suggest to their doctor that, hey, I heard this lady on the radio, you know, and could we try that?
Right.
And that's all you would need perhaps for
that's
a referral.
Yes. And I, you know, I think for the doctor, and nurse practitioners, and it can be a relieving thing because they have an option for their patients, you know, to let's see if this is what's causing your problem, you know. And we know for sure with incontinence, and when people think of a pelvic health physical therapist, that's usually, if they even know what one is,
right,
that's the diagnosis that they think of is incontinence. And it is an important one, like I said. And we're just now hearing on TV, you know, you see commercials about medication for people that are leaking urine, you know. And so it's become less taboo as far as incontinence. They talk about the different kinds of protective, you know, underwear that you can have now, and briefs and pads and everything. but it's not mentioned about physical therapy. And really, we're supposed to be, it's in the medical literature, the studies show that pelvic health physical therapy is supposed to be the first thing tried. So you go conservatively first with for the diagnosis of incontinence.
I see.
But that a lot of times they're not have you know they're not available because there's not a whole lot of there's a, several more than there used to be. I mean, I've been doing this 25 years, but there's several thousand now throughout the nation, and there are ways to find out where they are in the nation. You can search on the internet to locate a PT, you know, a pelvic floor PT or pelvic health PT.
Right.
They are still few and far between.
So in many cases, a lot of this is maybe muscle and nerve related.
Yes.
There's a connection usually.
Absolutely, yes. And one of the most important nerves in the pelvis is the pudendal nerve. And it innervates the bladder. It innervates the sphincter around the external anal sphincter around the anus. And so for the motor function, it affects the ability to squeeze in those muscles. But it also affects the sensation of the area. It innervates the bladder itself. So you're really, a pelvic health therapist is working with, I didn't even mention the organs, but we're working with the bladder too, and the rectum, and the intestines. So if we're treating somebody with constipation, you know, we'll teach them a colon mobilization, colon massage, dietary modifications. I haven't even talked about the treatments, but at this point, but I have my equipment, and that, I'm so thankful to San Juan Regional Medical Center and Rehabilitation Outpatient Center for their support. They have given me the okay to get the equipment that I need, and I've got the top best equipment. So I do biofeedback using EMG. Electromyogram readings of the muscles, and I can do that externally, and that's what I do. Children, I don't do anything internally.
Mm-hmm. And this tells you what? It gives you feedback on that muscle?
Yes, on the electrical activity of the muscle, yes. So if it's hypertonic, if it's too active, if it's hypertonic, that usually causes pain, and it causes weakness too because it gets stuck and it can't contract correctly. You can use that. I can use external electrodes, or I can use a vaginal or a rectal sensor that can give us the EMG reading. And I have it, it's up on a screen so the patient can see it. And so it gives them visual
feedback.
Right. And then it has little sounds. And there's also some little video, which I use with the children because you got to keep them.
Right, sure.
You know,
right.
Keep
gotcha.
Their attention.
Right.
So there's little cute little videos that you can do as they're using their muscles. They can cause a change on the screen, you know, on the video of what's happening. And it may be docking a space shuttle into a dock, you know, as they use their muscles, or it may be a dolphin jumping out of the water or a flower blooming. And, you know, it's things that they can, and with the children, I call it, you know, playing video games with their bottom.
Right.
So,
well, and you were telling me that for some of these children that maybe they've never had a normal bowel movement or something like that, and so they have to learn that
whole
technique.
Yes, you're so right. My first patient, or my youngest patient, was 3, and he had Hirschsprung's disease, was born with that, and so he had a colostomy for the first part of his life, and then they reversed that, but he didn't know how to relax his little external sphincter. And so we used biofeedback, and we played video games with his bottom. First, I did it on his bicep, you know, so that he could
understand
learn. Yeah, and just make it not so personal at first, and move toward putting it on his little bottom. And parents are always in the room.
Right.
Always in the room. I do not see children without
sure,
a parent
course.
Or a grandparent in the room, guardian in the room.
Mm-hmm. But that teaches them then how
to
control
it
that
and
what that feels like, I guess, when you're doing it the right way.
Right.
To then be able to reverse that condition, yes. I guess, yes. or that and not having a colostomy bag for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. He was so scared, and it felt so strange, and he would cry, and so once he learned how to control that muscle, and his mother was very supportive and everything. And when I discharged him that day, she just hugged me and just cried and thanked me and. Because she said, you've changed everything. So it's so rewarding what I do. I love it so much.
I was going to say life-changing because it is.
Absolutely.
And for older patients, too, you were telling me a story about a rancher.
Yes.
Talking of Texas, that I wanted to ask you about, too, because this problem affected a lot of the different things that he needed to do in his life, in his job, and I don't think he had a good diagnosis until coming to you.
Yeah, he had gone out to other states to some big clinics to be diagnosed, and he was one of those that had the chronic prostatitis, chronic pelvic pain syndrome. So he was given antibiotics for several years, which even the side effect from those antibiotics caused bradycardia, which is the slowing down of the heart, and so he had to have a pacemaker from taking, it was a side effect of the antibiotic.
Right, which weren't really helping the other condition,
apparently,
right?
And they weren't helping, but that's
right?
all
but a,
that
a
they
side effect.
Really knew
to try.
So he was a rancher, and he couldn't ride his horse to go out and do what ranchers do.
Sure.
Look at the land and round up the cattle,
check the fence, check the whatever,
all that stuff,
sure.
He couldn't ride in his pickup because sitting, it was his pudendal nerve. So, and the pudendal nerve is located right by your ischial tuberosities, which are your sit bones, bones when you sit.
Right.
And so it would compress the nerve, and then he had muscles that
So that'd
were,
be painful, I guess, for
oh
him? Is that what it was?
It's so painful.
Okay.
Very, very
I can't imagine not being able to sit down since I
so
do it.
So he couldn't sit.
All the time.
He couldn't bend, like, to try to horseshoe his horse.
Right.
So just the things around the ranch that you would normally, just lifting things and bending, and, he couldn't do. So he was just pretty much homebound. And he was just, he just felt like his life, he just didn't have his life. And he'd gone to so many doctors, and there was no, so... It was interesting. He talked his, through different networks, found out about me, and then came. And when he left, he's once we finished after several weeks, I saw him once to twice a week, and that's usually how often I see people is once or twice a week, and then and each session's an hour, but. He had the biggest smile on his face. He said, "You've given me my life back," and was able to do all of his work, and said, "I will speak anywhere for you. I will write, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it."
He was a convert.
And he was, and he.
Wow. How long does that usually take?
Well,
I know every
varies.
Case is different.
It is. For him, I think it took about 4 months. For some, it may take a year and a half. Some of these are very, very complicated.
Sure.
I work on the tissue on the outside because there's usually a lot of restriction. So I do connective tissue mobilization, trigger point release of muscles in, all the abdomen, all in the buttock region, everything. And then I can work on the muscles on the inside. And with a man, it can be through the rectum. And do trigger point work on those muscles, trigger points, and then there was biofeedback. I used that on him to relax the muscles, taught him progressive relaxation exercise. We did stretching. I did some dry needling to the muscles on the outside in the buttock region, taught him what to do at home to work on all the muscles.
Is there a chance that this could revert back if you're not careful or
it
if
is
you
a
don't
management,
do some of these
especially
things?
With pudendal neuralgia, it is a management thing because when stress occurs, whether it's happy stress or bad stress,
sure.
The muscles can tense back up, compress the nerve. And so I give them, I tell them I'm always giving them tools in their toolbox
right.
to self-treat. And
okay.
so teaching him how to treat the trigger points. And there's a little thing called the TheraWand that can help you get to the muscles through the rectum or through the vagina to get to the pelvic floor muscles to treat trigger points.
Right. And so this affects, as we were talking about, affects children, it affects adults,
yes.
it affects men, it affects women.
Yes.
I mean, it really could affect almost anybody
yes.
or does affect everybody.
And I, yes, yes. And I was telling you that... for pudendal neuralgia, it can be from sitting on a bike seat.
Right.
And so we have so many bikers in town, you know, that have all these awesome trails here, that if you're having any severe pain with sitting, oftentimes the sign is if you sit on a toilet seat that has the hole, you may get some relief.
Okay.
Because the pressure's taken off.
I see. Right. Uh-huh.
And so.
But that would be a sign
that, could
that
be
perhaps
a yes,
this is something going on.
Yes.
Okay.
But it can be, it's a big one.
And is there some, is the pain maybe not so bad at first and then just progresses over time?
It can get progressively, yes, that can happen. For some people, it usually is a progressive thing. If it's a sudden thing, it could be a sudden thing. Like if somebody falls on their tailbone,
right?
And then those muscles go into spasm and it compresses the nerve, then that can happen. Yeah. Or it can be gradual. So,
sure.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, we've seen some of those fancier bicycle seats maybe that
are split. They're
split. And that's for this reason, I would assume.
Exactly.
Right? To keep the pressure off of that nerve.
Exactly.
So there you go. My guest this morning, Kathy Curry, is here with me from Salmon Regional Medical Center's Rehabilitation Outpatient Center. And she is a pelvic health physical therapist, and she's been doing that for a number of years and has brought her services to the community. And it's great to be talking about this, even though it's a real private, personal issue. And I imagine that takes a while for your patients maybe to open up a little bit to you in talking about this stuff, even in a clinical setting. It's got to be a little difficult for folks.
When people come to me, I know that it probably took some courage just to get where they, just to get
the door.
Into, exactly.
Yeah.
To tell their doctor about it. And I talked to, when I was in Lubbock, I spoke to the OBGYN residents and to the family practice residents and the urology residents. I would come do a little hour lecture on having them, too, to ask the right questions. So that, because sometimes these are so private, they don't even want to tell their doctor. So if their doctor or nurse practitioner can ask the right questions, then that can open the door. And then let them know that there is something that can be done. So then by the time they do get to me, I do know that it's courageous just to be there. And so I try to make it as comfortable and as warm and cozy and homey to be able to be a place to relax. And I'm a person, it's just we're one-on-one, it's private, the door is shut. And we can talk about these issues, and nothing is taboo. We can talk about anything, and they can trust me. So
right, that's going to be a very important part of what you do.
And it, I can't just immediately get. It may take 20 minutes of us just talking.
Sure, of course.
To be able to, before the actual evaluation, and at the evaluation, I check the tissue and the muscles of the abdomen, so it's the front part of the pelvis, the back part of the pelvis. I check the legs, and then go into the muscles of the vagina for adults, the vagina or the rectum, depending upon what the diagnosis is. And then we do the EMG, so I put the little external electrodes on the perineum, which is the space between just beside the anus.
Right.
And so then we check that, and then we see if the muscle's hypertonic or if it's hypotonic. So what do we need to do? Do we need to relax it or do we need to strengthen it? So it varies. So,
that's the baseline,
yes.
I guess, that you get, and then you know where to go from there.
Right. And so when people hear of, incontinence, for example, they think, do your Kegels, or they, anything with the pelvis, I think, just do your Kegels. Well, Kegels aren't always the answer, because if the muscle's hypertonic, you don't want to keep contracting it. You've got to get it to relax and lengthen.
Right.
And then sometimes just doing that. I had a 14-year-old patient who was she was an international little competitor. She was a gymnast, gymnastic trampoline athlete.
Right.
And I was like, where's your next, what do you call them, meet or whatever, tournament or whatever? And she said, Belgium. Belgium.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
So anyway, she was 14 and she had incontinence. So here is, you don't need to be incontinent when you've got, when you're 14 and when you are wearing these tight little, these little outfits that, you know.
And you're jumping up and down.
Yeah, I'm jumping up and down. And so what, Kegels were not the answer for her. She, her muscles were so tense that we needed to get them to relax. So.
Interesting. Yeah. We just have a couple minutes remaining this morning, so I want to ask you, for our folks who are watching and listening this morning, and maybe it's not them, but maybe it's someone they know that could be suffering from this. What is the best way to maybe bring up the fact that there may be help available for this very personal problem?
They need to go see their medical provider, whether that be a doctor, nurse practitioner.
But as a friend or family member or spouse, they can say, you know, there might be something that can be done. Let's go make an appointment and talk about this.
The other thing they can do, they can just call in to the Rehabilitation Outpatient Center and ask to talk to me, and I will gladly, you know, talk to them on the phone, see if it's something that might be, you know, that where pelvic health physical therapy could help.
Because for couples, you mentioned too that this affects sexual function.
Oh, absolutely. So there's people that it's called dyspareunia, and where sex is painful, and it may be the muscles are too tight, and there's a condition called vaginismus where the muscles are in spasm, and there is absolutely no way that anything can penetrate. And with these women, they have not been able to use tampons. The gynecological exams are just, it's horrible. It's just very, very painful. But the great news is 99% can have pain-free intercourse and use tampons and have no pain with gynecological exam after they've had the therapy. So
from
I use,
from
me. And I didn't talk about dilators. There's just so many things that we do.
Right.
But
so they can call you?
They can call me and we can talk about it.
And can you give the number?
I'm new. I think it's 609.
Right.
Oh.
We'll put it on the podcast, everybody, so you'll
I'm
have
new.
It. That's okay.
Forgive me.
But it is the San Juan Regional Medical Center Rehabilitation Outpatient Center. If you do a search, you will find the number for sure. But you are new, and so sorry to put you on.
657-5-609-65. I'm not sure.
Okay. But I'm sure we can. We'll put it on there, everybody. But they can call you, and you can give them an idea. But basically, they will need a referral from their doctor, their nurse practitioner,
for their insurance to
come
pay.
And see you.
In the state of New Mexico, we have direct access, so you can come. But most insurances, unfortunately, don't pay if it's not been sent by a doctor, a nurse practitioner, or PA, or
okay.
So, and midwives too. I treat women that are pregnant, women after that's just a whole nother thing that we could talk about. But pelvic organ prolapse, painful scars from C-sections, from the perineal tearing from having a baby. So yeah, there's a whole lot more that I do. I didn't even talk about all the diagnoses. We just touched on a few.
We did indeed.
We would need to talk. I need to come back.
You'll be here for the whole morning.
I know.
Which would be great, but you have other stuff coming up, but we'll have you back. But I appreciate it because it's been a very enlightening conversation. And again, as we mentioned, there's not a lot of people that do what you do, especially here in the Four Corners area. And so I think for a lot of folks, this may be providing some needed relief, and they haven't known about it until this morning.
I call them the silent sufferers because they're suffering. And so, it can be life-changing. So, let's try it out.
Thank you for the work that you do, and thanks for coming here to share it with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Curry, San Juan Regional Medical Center, Rehabilitation Outpatient Center, my guest here on KSJE. And back with more in just a moment, everyone. The time right now is coming up on 8:41.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.